7 seconds. 7 seconds. That was a punk rock band back in the day. And that's the amount of delay. Here on the Freedom Fiends radio show. The Freedom Fiends talk radio show is what you're listening to. And this is Mr. Michael Dean, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. And who we got on the other end there, Ben?
Hey, it's Ben Stone from Bad Quaker.
What is Bad Quaker?
That is a website that I broadcast a podcast from. And I talk about all kinds of different things like you do.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one. And we have lots of news to cover today on the Freedom Fiends. And later in the show, we will be taking your calls. We're up for calls, and we are technically up for calls and ability and all of the things that it takes to get calls. So we got some interesting news. Today's episode, by the way, is called Traffic Cameras Are Proof That the Government Doesn't Work. And we'll get into that later more. Ben, tell me a little bit about this gaffe today on Lou Rockwell's site. And we're only doing this as a public service announcement, especially to our listeners in Kentucky. We do have listeners in Kentucky. Something was reported as true that's false by accident. Well, it's intentionally false. It's from a site that is a humor site, but someone over at lourockwell.com thought it was legitimate and posted it as news. And it has 2,400 reposts on the internet on various blogs since yesterday. So, Ben, go ahead and tell the story here.
Yeah, well, first off, lourockwell.com is the number one, the most visited libertarian website in the world. So it's got a great reputation. It's a good website. We have nothing but positive things to say about lourockwell.com. But they did accidentally, one of their posters posted a link to a story that's not true. It's a parody story. And the story essentially says that in Winchester, Kentucky, the locals are going to start requiring that all gun owners come down to the police station and install tracking devices on their guns, all guns, including antiques, curios, you know, any kind of gun that you might have. They're requiring these
grandpa's guns.
Tracking. Yeah, exactly. They're requiring tracking devices. Well, the whole story is, you know, it's a parody story. It's like The Onion. It's at nationalreport.net, which is sort of a joke website, but yeah, it looks real.
It looks real, and it's got Ted Cruz at the top and Sarah Palin, and it looks like a real newspaper website. But all you have to do is look at some of the other headlines to realize that this is a joke site. Like Rick Santorum voted People's Sexiest Republican.
Yeah, and
Michelle Bachmann dead at 63.
Yeah, that would be all over the news if that were really the case.
Yeah, and Burning Man 2013, communism is alive and well in the USA because people are sharing at this event. Yeah.
When I first read the story, now I've lived in Kentucky and I know Kentucky very well. I currently live in Ohio,
Where'd you live in Kentucky?
I've lived probably, I would say in eastern Kentucky, we refer to counties. You know, you're from this county, you're from that county. And I've probably lived in about six counties in Kentucky. Never really lived in a town. Well, yeah, I lived in Paintsville, Kentucky for a while. But mostly I've lived in, you know, out in the country in different places. But I know the town that this is supposed to have happened in Winchester. I know Winchester, Kentucky. I know that area. It's just east of the what was considered horse country, where the rolling knolls of Kentucky are. And it's it's not a backwoods. It's not Appalachia. It's there's universities in the area. It's a very diverse area. So when I read in this story, this remark, I'll read this part here. It says, Winchester is probably best known for
what is it known for, Ben?
The late Helen Thomas.
Yes.
And their 1998 contribution to the Guinness Book of World Records for the most underage tobacco users per capita in the U.S.
Neither of those things are true. Yeah.
What's
neither
that?
Of those things are true either.
Yeah, I read that and I thought right away, anybody that's from Kentucky knows that Kentucky is often slammed unrightfully. So I saw that and I realized right away that this was just a joke. It was not real.
at the expense of our good friends in Kentucky, which is not good. You know, there's a book by Jim Goad called The Redneck Manifesto, which basically, it's a really funny book and it's a really good book. And it's, I read it about 18 years ago or so, 15 years ago, and it kind of, shortly after it came out, it kind of was the first like real, like almost libertarianism that I read. But the main premise of the book isn't really political. I guess it's socio-political. It's the premise is that, making fun of rural white people, that they are the last unprotected class there is, that what you can get away with, and they regularly get away with on TV, saying about rural white people, if you said it about any other socioeconomic, political, you know, gender, sexual, religious group, you'd get kicked off of TV. And that's pretty much true. You know, the white rural American has become the scapegoat. And this is not a racial discussion. It's not even a tribal discussion. It's just an observation that you can make fun of Cletus if you're from the big city. I was looking at, you know, there's this comedian I really like. Hicks is his last name, ironically, Bill Hicks, who's from Texas, who was a really good comedian, and I really liked him a lot. But he got into jokes where he just made fun of rural people because he was from Texas and he was trying to get away from his, what he didn't like about his small town. And I thought it was kind of cheap, you know, and he was doing it in Toronto, in the video I watched, in Toronto and Chicago. And it's a pretty safe joke to sit in Toronto or Chicago and make fun of people from Alabama or Kentucky or Kansas or Wyoming, where I live, or even parts of Ohio where you live. And it just kind of seemed like, man, you're smarter than that, Bill Hicks. Come on. Come on. But I guess, he's not around anymore, so I'm not going to make fun of him. He died of cancer, and one of his main jokes was making fun of people who didn't like smokers, and he died of cancer. And I'm not saying like, I mean, it's terrible. Cancer's terrible, and I feel bad even remotely joking at anything like that. But Bill Hicks was a good guy, and I miss him, but, you know, he didn't have it 100% right. And but
yeah, it's always easy to take cheap shots at, you know, at a group that's not wealthy, that's not in control of the media, and it's not going to have repercussions. But rednecks tend to have a really good sense of humor anyway.
Yeah, self-deprecating even. And that's a style of comedy now, is self-deprecating redneck humor, the whole blue collar tour. And actually, the one guy that I really like in that left. You know, I don't really like Foxworthy. I really don't like the cable guy. The other guy's kind of so-so, but I really like Ron White. Ron White is kind of, I think he's heavily influenced by the guy we were talking about before.
Yeah, they're both Hicks. They're both Texans.
Yeah, so. They're both Texan Hicks. But Ron White kind of takes it to a higher level. Like, yes, the sophisticated, yes, I'm a redneck, instead of the, like, he still is a sophisticated man who happens to be a redneck. Whereas, Hicks was kind of like, he came from redneck roots and wanted to run screaming to Los Angeles as quick as he could from it and avoid it. I mean, I moved to Los Angeles, but I kind of never really got rid of my white trash, peckerwood, redneck, you know, up roots, to the point where after 16 years in San Francisco and 10 years in Los Angeles, my wife and I moved to Wyoming, and we've never been happier.
Well, Wyoming is a wonderful place.
Yeah, it really is. But getting back to this Gary North accident of reposting this false thing as truth. Now, it could be true. That's the reason it got reposted, because a lot of people would love to put RFID chips in guns. It's actually been suggested by a gun owner. Who's the gun and weed comedian? I can't remember his name. He does ads for medical marijuana because he's got MS or something. And he also is a gun owner, liberal. And he says, I think there should be no problem with anybody having any gun you want, as long as they can put a chip in it and the government can always know where it is. And he owns an AK and says that.
I haven't heard that. That's pretty scary, though.
Yeah. Well, they always start with the celebrities with this kind of stuff. But so basically, Gary North got punked with what we call at the Freedom Fiends, here on the Freedom Fiends, we call it dad spam. Now, I'm going to have you read the definition on the Freedom Fiends glossary, Ben, of dad spam. I just pigeoned it to you on the Pigeon Trolla. This episode brought to you by Pigeon. It's absolutely free and it's encrypted and the government can't read it.
Dad spam is easy to spot. It usually contains lots of capital letters and exclamation points, and rows of arrows, the marks from being forwarded again and again by people who don't know that you can remove those marks. And it's always CC'd to everyone, never blind carbon copied. Dad spam is usually sent from an AOL or a Yahoo account. Michael has a theory that all dad spam originates from a team of paid hacks at some right-wing organization, possibly either Accuracy in Media or the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Michael Dean coined the phrase dad spam.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
And if you plan on using the phrase dad spam, send Michael a dollar.
No.
That's not in there.
No, yeah, you don't have to do that, man. We don't have to do that anymore. So what do you think, Ben? What do you think? What do you think about all this, about the accidental punking of LouRockwell.com today?
Well, it's easily done, you know, because like you said, it's a believable story. It's the kind of thing that could happen. And so that's the key of any kind of hoax. You don't want to have a hoax that's completely unbelievable. You want to have something that's right on the verge of being believable. And then you just put enough humor into it that only some people are going to catch it. But some people are going to take it and run with it. And that's what's happened with this story.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sending you a picture of the celebrity. I don't know his name. I don't know celebrities enough, but if you look at this page, Ben, the picture on the left, it's the dapper black man with the tuxedo. He's a comedian. He had a TV show. What's his name? He has multiple sclerosis. I can't remember, but he's a gun guy too and a medical marijuana guy.
The page is still loading. So, Montel.
Yeah, Montel. I believe he's the one who said that anybody, I have an AK, anybody should be able to have any gun they want as long as there's an RFID chip in it. So it was believable. You know, it seemed believable, but people should check their sources before they run with it. And, the author of this is a good guy, Gary North. He's an economist from way back in the day. Well, he's solid on economics, I'll say that. And I'm wondering, too, I've been wondering who came up with that term, the libertarianism 101 thing, that, yeah, all laws are backed by guns. If you don't pay your taxes, they'll come to your house. They'll tell you to pay them. If you tell them to go away, they'll come back with a gun and put it to your head. I think Gary North might have come up with that, because the cover of one of his books we'll talk about when we get back on the Freedom Fiends. Yeah.
Worms.
Worms. We're listening to Freedom Fiends. Subliminal. With Nima V and Michael Dean. Not your dad's talk radio. 5 centuries after the first spaceflight, the stars remain beyond humanity's reach. So a mad scientist enlists the aid of a young technician, Nicole Orem, as they travel through the solar system, encountering the hazards of space and human treachery. Quantum Vibe, Volume 1, Nicole, collects the first 400 strips of the epic sci-fi webcomic series, available now from the major online bookstores or direct from BigHeadPress.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech as hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and 2 designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Yeah. Freedom Fiends. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show, with Ben Stone filling in for Nima Vedati today. Nima's in the FEMA camps, and they won't let him out till he signs the social contract, because Nima, What I heard was that Nima went golfing with Obama in the Bahamas, and Obama didn't like something Nima said, so he put him in a FEMA camp or Gitmo or something. But he'll be back next Wednesday for a non-radio podcast show and back for our weekend radio shows next week. But we got Ben Stone here from the Bad Quaker Podcast filling in. How you doing, Ben?
Hey, Michael. I'm doing great.
Yeah, so before we went to the during the break, I went out the other room, and my wife was waking from a nap on the couch, and she I never would laugh at my wife having a bad dream, but this wasn't a nightmare, and she was laughing about it when she woke up. But she was dreaming that she was hearing me do the show, hearing my end of it, and she was on the show with me, as she is sometimes. She was on the show, and I was asking you questions, and she was trying to answer them in her sleep and running around to different rooms trying to find me to answer them, and it was unpleasant. And when she woke up, I said, I could set up a mic for you. She's like, no, it wasn't pleasant. I'm not in the mood. So, yeah. So we were talking about Gary North before we went to the break. Gary North is a OG. I don't know if he's a libertarian, but he's a don't like the government, ultra conservative kind of guy and an economist. And he wrote a book in 1986 called Government by Emergency. And the cover is some pencil neck bureaucrat with a clipboard, like a tax guy, flanked by two cops with guns, like not even modern SWAT, like, you know, California Highway Patrol guys with like grandpa's guns, like M30 Garands or something. And, you know, but that kind of sums it up. And it's, I think people take it for granted that there's this phrase out there that describes accurately how laws are enforced. It's basically, yeah, they're all enforced by a gun to your head. And someone says, I've never had a gun to my head and I obey laws. And you explain that if you don't pay your taxes or you disobey a law, they'll come to your house. If you tell them to go away, they'll bring other people back who have guns. If you tell them to go away, they'll kick in your door and put a gun to your head. And if you resist, they'll kill you. And if you don't resist, they'll kidnap you and put you in a cage. That's accurate. But it's such a like bumper sticker almost type explanation that falls out of every libertarian's mouth and a lot of conservatives' mouths without knowing where it came from, that I'm trying to trace where it came from. And I'm wondering if it's Gary North, because in 1986, the cover of his book, Government by Emergency, kind of describes that scenario. It's a tax collector bureaucrat with a clipboard and a couple of goons with guns. So Gary North is solid on a lot of things. And but he got punked, man. This site that is a humor site punked him by writing this article that says weapon RFID bill, mandatory tracking of Kentucky's gun owners. And it's a joke. It's not true. This whole site, the National Report, is false news. And I'm fine with false news. I'm a fan of The Onion. I'm fine with it when you know, when it's presented as false news, which this site is, obviously. But somebody must have sent it to him and he got punked and reblogged it. And that's not the end of the story. He's a very popular blogger on a very popular site, lewrockwell.com, and thousands of people reblogged it. So, yeah, man, it's kind of like the War of the Worlds, but it's the War of the Words. So check your sources, Gary North. We'll keep reading you. Lou Rockwell's a good site, but check your sources, please, people.
One of the key phrases in that article that really popped to me to show me that it was a fake story was the sentence that says the city of Winchester is also home to several academies of higher learning and is thought to be more intelligent and liberal than the rest of the state. I think if you said that to somebody in Winchester, Kentucky, you'd better duck right after saying it, because they're going to probably take a swing at you.
Yeah.
And maybe in other parts of Kentucky, they might do the same just for general purposes, you know?
Yeah, this site also has an article that says Obama will use the Second Amendment as a boarding pass to Syria, basically saying if you want to keep your guns, he's going to call you up as a militia and send you to Syria. Although I could believe that, too. So I don't know. I would check the sources. I would look at things around the edges, like the thing that you just mentioned. So, you know, you can tell false news from real news.
Yeah. Also on the same site is the story that Obama is going to use a hurricane a hurricane that's going to hit Mexico in order to enforce his immigration processes.
Yeah, it's kind of National Report is kind of a parody of a right wing kook site. All right. So I've got some tape here on Montel Williams. He's one of these liberals. People do this with guns. A few liberals do it with guns. A lot of rich people, liberals and non-liberals, do this with taxes. We'll play it when we get back. Basically, it's he says, I'm a gun owner and I'll be reasonable, so why won't everyone else? And rich people say that with taxes. I'm willing to pay more taxes, so everyone should. We'll have more collectivism exploited, explained on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Howdy, I'm Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker Podcast. I'll show you the difference between leadership and authority and how to eliminate the demand for authority while remaining peaceful and even calm. We have a forum and it's got gardening tips. Check out the Bad Quaker Podcast at badquaker.com. That's BADQUAKER.com.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Freedom Fiends. 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 I'm dancing, Ben. I'm dancing on the talk radio. That's how excited and caffeinated I am. Caffeine's a heck of a drug. All right. In the last episode here on the Freedom Fiends, in the last segment, we promised some tape of Montel Williams. I could not find tape of him saying put RFID chips in guns, but I can find him being an apologist saying, well, I was trained by the government. I should be able to have a gun. Anyone should, if we have reasonable controls. So it's that liberal thing of saying, I believe it, so everyone should do it. Here you go on Piers Morgan, Montel Williams. I'm a gun owner.
That's where the bigger discussion needs to be now. When it comes to guns, I'm a gun owner. I was trained by the military. Why would you want to take away my gun? I'm not going to go out and blow somebody up, but why can't we change the way we allow people to buy them?
I totally agree with everything you've just said.
I can't listen to him. No, my head will explode. Man, Piers Morgan, he raises my blood pressure. And there aren't enough vitamin supplements in the world to save me from Piers Morgan talking. I really believe it. So, Ben, there was a gun thing recently in Colorado. We interviewed this guy named Victor Head, who got together with some buddies and borrowed money from his grandmother and did a recall on some gun-grabbing politicians and got them taken out of office. It was pretty awesome. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
Yep. And I have no further comments. Yes, Colorado is a kind of a test ground state for this because it's very conservative. It's very red state, but it's also very blue state in the cities. And they're kind of using the weed thing there as a wedge issue. Now, the Freedom Fiends made a movie called Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, which you can go see at gunsandweed.com. And we don't do weed. We don't smoke weed, but we support everyone's right to do whatever they want to their bodies, which is something that Bill Hicks was really big on. He was the only comedian I've ever seen who said, I don't take drugs, but I think people should be able to take drugs. And I'll not only I don't even have any horror stories. Drugs were great. I liked them. I just don't take them anymore. And I think everyone should be able to take them. That was Bill Hicks' basic thing. So they're using guns as a wedge issue in Colorado. And it's it's wrong. It's BS and it's not truth. And they're basically saying you have to choose between one or the other. And that's because of politics. That's because of the state. That's because of the fact that democracy is 51% aggressing on 49%. And that's how it works. And, you know, they say democracy is two wolves and a sheep voting on what to have for dinner. And, you know, liberty is a well-armed sheep disagreeing. So basically, there were these two gun-grabbing politicians that they got kicked out with a recall. And one of the ladies was the lady was Hispanic, and she was crying racism and saying, "This is because I'm Hispanic." They replaced her with a Republican Hispanic pro-gun guy whose parents had come, quote unquote, illegally to America from Mexico. So that just throws that whole thing out the window. There's also talk that the gun grabbers, who were way better funded, they had $3 million, and the pro-gun people had $500,000 in donations. The pro-gun people got some money from the Koch brothers and the NRA. The antis said, "Well, that's cheating. That means we'll never be able to succeed. They have Koch brother money." And but the antis got $3 million from Mayor Bloomberg, the king of New York City, who wants to ban your big sodas. And but they still lost. They were better funded, the anti-gunners, but they lost. And there's talk that the anti-gunners were calling people and telling them to go to the poll, or going door to door and telling people to go to the poll. And some of the volunteers may have been allegedly lying and saying, "Oh, it's a recall about abortion and women's rights," to get Democrats to go to the polls and just vote regardless. And they, you know, supposedly were not truthful about what it was. Did you hear about that at all?
I didn't hear that part, but my first response would always be, "What? You mean the vote is not honest?" I'm shocked to hear that. Shocked.
Do you think there are honest votes?
There can be, sure. But I think in many cases, if not most cases, including in America, a lot of the votes are falsified in one way or the other, or controlled in some system or another.
Yeah. 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 And we're going to take your calls here on the Freedom Fiends, and the call-in number is 1-855-660-4261. That's 855-660-4261, and you can call in about the topic of the gun grabbers or anything you want on the Freedom Fiends. And yeah, so we talked a bit about Gary North, and I want to go into the topic of the day, which is we actually name each episode on the radio on the Freedom Fiends. Today's is called "Traffic Cameras Are Proof That the Government Doesn't Work." Now, when I told you, Ben, that, what did you think that means? What did you think that meant yesterday when I told you that?
Well, I took it in a couple different ways. I thought, well, you know, if traffic cameras are basically a form of enforcement, that's what we're told. They're to keep us safe, right? So if stop signs don't work, if stop signs don't stop people and make us safe, and if red lights, which is the next step of stop signs, if red lights don't work, and if speed limit signs, and if cops with radars, and all these other steps along the way don't work to keep us safe on the highways, which they don't, because we're looking at something like 40,000 deaths a year on American highways alone. So if all of these other steps of enforcement have not worked, then logically speaking, traffic cameras won't do any better, and therefore the best government can do to keep us safe fails at the rate of 40,000 dead per year. That was my first thought, I think.
What was your second thought? Was it something about how there are statistics that traffic cameras actually make people less safe?
Yeah, and in I believe it was in L.A. or one area around L.A. that some people fighting the use of traffic cameras actually did the statistics and found out that people have a tendency, when they know that there's a traffic camera there, they will have a tendency to stomp on the gas harder during a yellow light to try to avoid getting photographed by the red camera,
or speed up dangerously to get through.
Yeah.
And try to trick it, which you can't do.
And what that ends up doing is creating a more unsafe environment in the intersection than when you had no camera at all.
Traffic cameras are proof that the government doesn't work. It works on so many levels. Ben just gave us two of them, and they weren't even the two I was thinking of. So there's at least four. I was thinking of, first of all, the fact that traffic cameras are money generating only. That's the purpose for them, is to steal money from people remotely. It's pickpocketing people by remote control, sending them a ticket for going about their day. And the governments don't work. They don't produce things. They just tax. That's what they do. They don't have any money. They can only steal it, print it, or borrow it. They don't actually produce a product. So they don't work. Those people don't work for a living. You know, I often talk about the time I was at, yes, a Grateful Dead concert. Yes, back in the 80s in Berkeley, California. Don't ask.
Oh, no, but, no, no.
I saw this white hippie chick getting arrested by these Berkeley cops and dragged off by her collar and her hair for smoking weed in the parking lot. And this Rasta dude from Jamaica, like 6'4" Rasta dude with dreadlocks, was following the cops and going, "Hey man, why don't you come down Monday morning? I give you honest work selling incense." I can't really do a Jamaican accent, but he was saying to the cops, "You're not doing honest work. Why don't you come to me and I'll give you honest work selling incense?" And I really like that. So traffic cameras are proof that people from the government don't work for a living. They steal for a living. The other thing is, and I think this is the most cogent and important bullet point of these four bullet points, is the idea that it's believed by the government and by statists that good people just obey laws because we write stuff down on paper and that makes it real and they do it. So if that's true, why do you need traffic cameras 24/7 to catch what is probably a majority of people who would ignore traffic laws? Now, there would not be chaos if there was anarchy in traffic. You've talked about studies. I mean, people, the bizarre thing is when you're in the middle of nowhere, there's no traffic camera around, and this happened before traffic cameras. You're in the middle of nowhere at an intersection on a dirt road out in the country. You can't see a car or a person or even a house for miles, and there's a red light, and some people will stop.
Yeah,
but if that one, you know, but they're actually trying to put some like fail safes or make you fail devices in cars in Europe to where you can't go over 70 miles an hour. Now, Europe, Germany is the land of the Autobahn. I've been on the Autobahn as a passenger going 120. It was safe. It was fine. People slow down when it's dangerous. They slow down when it rains. They don't need the government to tell them what to do. And you can't regulate a complex system like roads. People would be better off probably doing it on their own. Don't you have some statistics pointing toward that, Ben?
Yeah, there was actually a study done in England not long ago where they took several very busy intersections and they removed all the signage. They removed the stripes on the street to tell you where to stop and when to stop. They removed all the lights that were there and they just allowed spontaneous order to happen. And what they found out was there were dramatically less accidents, and the traffic flow it was actually faster because the commute time was faster because people, instead of just looking at the light, they looked at the other drivers and they coordinated what they were doing with the other drivers rather than just letting the light tell them when to do whatever. I don't know how many times I've actually seen with my own eyes accidents where one driver trusts the light, it turns green, he pulls out without looking and gets T-boned by a car who didn't notice the other light changed in the opposite direction. Well, when you remove the light, you remove the opportunity for that blind trust in the system, and you force people to look around and pay attention and see what other people are doing.
I'll say this, if they put fail safes on cars in Europe or anywhere that prevent you from going over 70 miles an hour, more people will die, because even if you're going 60 miles an hour and that's the reasonable rate to go and that's the rate everyone's going, if some truck jackknifes in front of you, there are times where you have to speed up to 80 for a few seconds to get around that. You know, it's going to kill lives, not save lives.
Actually, you know, my dad is passed now, but he was an old time motorcycle guy from like the late 40s and all through the 50s. And when myself and my brother are both also motorcycle guys, when we were growing up, my dad would insist that our first motorcycle not be small and weak. He wanted our first motorcycle to be powerful enough. In his words, he said, any motorcycle can get you into trouble, but only a powerful motorcycle can get you out of trouble. So that was his way of looking at it, is that the more powerful the vehicle you've got, the safer you are, because you can suddenly accelerate and get away from it.
Yeah. Traffic, spontaneous order. If you believe in evolution, you should believe in spontaneous order. And if you don't, you should believe in it anyway, because it's the only thing you got. Here on the Freedom Fiends, we'll be back with more after the market and its spontaneous order.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of FreedomFiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Freedom Fiends. Freedom, freedom fiends. Freedom, freedom fiends. Freedom, freedom fiends. Yes, and that this is Michael W. Dean broadcasting while live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. And that little song there is a part of a ditty by Right Arm of Wyoming, my band. And the song is called Would You Tar and Feather a Tax Collector? And you can get Right Arm of Wyoming free. Just search on the libertarianpunk.com blog for Right Arm of Wyoming. I do want to say that the Freedom Fiends does need a programmer, a computer programmer who can program in the language C#. Yeah, we sound like gun-toting rednecks from some rural area, but we also need a computer programmer who can program in C#. If you're a C# computer programmer, you can write us, please, at talkback@freedomfiends.com. And I'm deathly serious. We need a C# programmer. We have a caller here on the line. His name is Republican Rick, apparently, from Detroit. I don't know if he's listening on the radio or not. I think Detroit doesn't have electricity anymore. But go ahead and talk there, Republican Rick.
Hello there, Mike. Hi, Ben.
Michael.
Okay, yeah. You guys in your bunkers, y'all need to come out because you guys are what's destroying this beautiful country of ours. Now, let me tell you something about my hometown of Detroit, Michigan. It is a fine, upstanding bunch of people who just happened to make the mistake of voting for them darn Democrats.
I don't know what to say to that, man. Ben?
Wasn't there recently a situation there in Detroit where a person was running for the mayor spot and about half of their ballots ended up getting torn up because of some variation about the way that they were read?
Yeah, and didn't the cops beat up the Libertarian candidate there? What do you think of Libertarians, Republican Rick?
Well, that boy Scotty Bowman, he tried to go outside the Constitution. He tried to limit government, and government limited him, just like he deserved.
Is this real? I don't know, man.
I love that. That sounds great.
What do you do?
He tried to limit government, and government limited him.
That'd be a good bumper sticker for the Libertarian Party of Michigan, probably. In Soviet Detroit, government limits you, I think would be the answer there. So, Rick, what do you... Go ahead.
If you listen to my good friend Harry Reid, whatever his name
Henry
is.
Henry Rollins.
Democrat, but,
Henry Rollins.
But he's still a good guy. You see, you got these anarchists in the House and the Senate. They're just destroying everything. Harry Reid was right that government is inherently good. Just ask any American Indian or Vietnamese.
I think we're being punked. I think we're being punked by LouRockwell.com or something that would punk LouRockwell.com here. So what do you do for kicks there, Rick, in Route 66? I mean, Detroit.
Well, I like to read my Constitution, although like most constitutionalists, I just read the first 10 amendments and nothing else because you don't want to mess with the boring stuff.
Well, you know that before you even get to the amendments, Article 1 basically gives the federal government the power to tax in an unlimited way. Isn't that what you guys say the revolution was fought against? Or are you okay with it because it's got representation?
Well, as a Republican, I do have to say that we are all in this together.
Who's we?
All of us. You know, when you was born, how you put your little toe print on that social contract.
Ben, what do you got here, Ben?
You know, I have to shift in a different direction. I visited Michigan for the first time this year, and I was just delighted at how wonderful the people were.
Weren't you at an anarchist convention, though, Ben?
I was, actually. I was at a very disorganized anarchist convention that we had a blast at, and I'm not sure, but what Rick wasn't there.
There was there spontaneous order, or was it like a big traffic jam?
It was a lot of spontaneous order. It was put on by the Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition, and we just had a blast. There was a lot of family-friendly activity, and then very privately, there was non-family-friendly activity, if I might say.
All right, any closing words, Republican Rick?
Yes, the cause of 1984 was 1791. We got to get back to the Constitution.
All right.
Thanks, Rick.
Thanks, Rick. Thank you for your call.
Bye, boys.
More coming up on the Freedom Fiends Feisty Libertarian Talk Radio Show on Genesis Communications Network. Worms.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com. Need to talk to people in a secure manner? Liberty Private Network sells phones that will work over any good internet connection and give you military-grade encryption for calls that cannot be tapped. Great for lawyers and clients, business people with trade secrets, or just ordinary folk who don't want their love talk spied on by some scumbag from the central scrutinizer. Call 516-TLK-SAFE on your non-secure phone and tell them the Freedom Fiends sent you. That's 516-TLK-SAFE.
Yeah. Freedom Fiends. This is Mr. Michael Dean on the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Show on Genesis Communications Network, and I am broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural Wild Mountain West in the occupied states of America. And on the other end, filling in for Nima Vedati, who's in the FEMA camp or something because he went golfing with Obama in the Bahamas and Obama didn't like what he said. And I guess Nima ended up in a FEMA camp or Gitmo and they won't let Nima out till he signs the social contract. But filling in quite aptly, we have Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker podcast on the other end. What is up, Mr. Ben? How are you doing?
Hey, Michael. Just over here absorbing so much freedom, it hurts.
That is the freedom fiend's way. So much freedom, so much truth, it hurts. So I'm looking at something from the Wyoming Gun Owners Association, which is actually the only gun rights group I'm still a member of. I left the NRA about 4 years ago when it occurred to me that they basically are extremely in favor of the war on guns, and they're extremely in favor of the government and the police and the military and arming them all to the hilt, which basically those are the people that are going to take your guns away, man. You know, I mean, even if you don't smoke pot, you shouldn't cheer when the SWAT team kicks in the young bearded people's house down the street who smoke the little weeds and drag them out in handcuffs. You shouldn't go, heh, they deserve it, which a lot of gun owners do, and it really disgusts me. But more and more are seeing the light and realizing that's not ethical, and that's cheering murder, and that's cheering aggression, and that's cheering things that aren't good. And even if you can't have that much humanity, if all you want to be is selfish, you shouldn't cheer those SWAT teams because they are practicing for when they're going to kick in your door. And if you have any fantasies of, well, I'm going to fight the American Revolution too on my front lawn. No, they're going to send the military. You know, when you say support the troops, you're saying, I want those guys to be as strong as possible. So when guns are outlawed, they will come. They will send those guys. They'll bring them all back from the Middle East and park them on your street. And, at best, American Revolution 2 would look like 10,000 Ruby Ridges or what's that thing they did in Texas?
Waco.
Thank you. Yes, my crack research team. Yeah, Waco. And at worst, it would just look like, you'd wake up to an explosion in your living room and then you'd wake up with guns pointed at your face before you even got a chance to grab your gun. So don't support the war on drugs like the National Rifle Association does. Support freedom, support liberty, support people's right to do whatever they want as long as they don't hurt anyone else. But I am still a member of the Wyoming Gun Owners Association. It's WyomingGunOwners.com. And I got an email from Anthony Bouchard. We'll have him on at some point. He's a good guy. And he talks in this about how, here's some background. The governor of Wyoming, Matt Mead, ran under his only platform was pretty much in the primaries when he's running against three other Tea Party Republicans. His only platform was guns. I was getting stuff in my mail saying, Matt Mead supports your guns. So my friend Nima Vedati, who's usually the co-host of this show, who was working as a ABC news reporter at the time for the Wyoming station, I said to Nima, hey, why don't you call all the governors up and say, let's go shooting and we'll film you and interview you about guns. And we did. And I went shooting with Governor Matt Mead. He probably doesn't remember me. It's not like, yeah, me and the governor go hunting all the time. It's like, but I went with him. He shot some of my guns. I shot some of his guns. Good time was had by all. And, he was on the TV saying, I support the Second Amendment. As soon as he won the primary, which basically means you're going to win here because he's a Republican and it's a red state. Although the last governor was a Democrat and he was more pro-gun than this guy turns out to be, in my opinion. This guy, Matt Mead, he did an interview recently where he was like, well, we need to expand mental health issue. You know, we don't need more gun laws in Wyoming. We need to expand mental health background checks, basically. Basically saying, if you say anything that sounds weird, we want to take your gun. That's how I read that. In my opinion, this guy was a federal attorney, so I'm picking my words very carefully. Now, I don't believe a federal attorney can be a friend of the people because their basic job is throwing people in prison. And Matt Mead actually bragged when he's running for governor that as a federal attorney, he had this great conviction rate and he enumerated some of it. And some of it was throwing people who owned pot in prison for owning guns at the same time. That's not a crime in any moral sense, right, Ben?
No, it's not really. I mean, it's just too, you know, it's property. It's not even that one thing is so evil. A lot of people, you know, on the left, they tend to think that guns are evil. But of course, a gun is just an object. But then people on the right, they understand that. And they say, yeah, a gun is just an object. It's not good or it's not bad. It's just an object. It's what you do with it. And then the same people who believe that about guns will then say, well, but marijuana is a bad object. And yeah, it's a real disconnect in logic there between the two.
Yeah, they want to divide and conquer. So it was announced about a month ago. There's this thing here every year called the Antelope Shoot, the One-Shot Antelope Shoot. It's a charity event where they raise money for injured children or something good by have people voluntarily. And I'm all for charity events. I don't like money being taken by force out of taxes for no matter how good the purpose is. But I like charity, and I like the alternative being charity and voluntarily, yeah, I'll pay $100 to go take one shot at an antelope with a bunch of other guys in a field and girls in a field. And that happens every year here. And this year, the governor, Matt Mead, is like, yes, I'm participating. And that's on the ads and that's on the posters for about the last month. This past week, he announced that his shooting partner, although I don't know what a partner is in a single shot hunt, the guy he's going to stand around and have pictures taken with is Hickenlooper, the Democrat gun-hating governor, pro-pot governor of Colorado, our bordering state to the south, our neighbors to the south. And here's the thing. I'm really upset about that. And a lot of gun owners in Wyoming are really upset about that. Like, basically, Colorado just did a recall and kicked out some gun-grabbing friends of this guy. And there's pictures of this guy literally hugging Obama. There are at least three pictures out there of Hickenlooper, not just standing with Obama, but hugging him almost in a loving way, almost in a romantic way to my eye. And this guy is not a friend of guns, but, you know, this supposed gun loving Tea Party governor in Wyoming is inviting this gun grabber who, you know, just suffered a terrible loss in his state with some state reps getting ousted because they were anti-gun. He's trying to do damage control by bringing this guy up here to do the antelope shoot and make him look pro-gun. That's politics in a nutshell. Now, here's the thing. I'm really upset about this. A lot of Wyoming gun owners are really upset about this. A lot of Colorado gun owners are really upset about this. That is because there is a system of force and aggression in place, which is the government. If it weren't for the government having like tendrils and hooks into our brains and our pocketbooks and everything we do, why would I care about two guys going antelope shooting, man? I wouldn't care if they went antelope shooting and made out and tongue kissed each other. I couldn't care what they did or who they hugged. It wouldn't be my business. But since there is a government, something that's just two guys going hunting becomes an act of aggression. It becomes a political action to show someone is different than they are. That's what I think of this. There you go, Ben.
It's very much like the very famous picture of Obama that circulated not that long ago with him shooting a shotgun. And it was kind of right in a key time when the government was really pushing towards another act of gun grabbing.
Of gun violence. Of violence against gun owners. That's what that would have been.
Yeah. And out comes this picture of Obama shooting a really, really super expensive German shotgun.
German or Italian.
And strict orders from the White House. No one is allowed to Photoshop this holy photo.
So everyone did. Now, when I say that it was an act of aggression, here's what I mean. If you're new to the ideas of liberty, if you're listening out there in radio land, gun laws are acts of violence against gun owners because gun laws are basically saying, like, okay, say they decide you can't have more than 10 round mags, you know, and you happen to own some of them and you don't want to get rid of them because if a gang of people try to break into your house and kick in your door, you're going to need them. You know, that 11th shot might be the difference between life and death. It happens. It has happened. And, it's not going to reduce crime. It's not going to reduce violence. And the idea that you can reduce violence in mass shootings by reducing the mag limit. There's a video on YouTube of somebody changing mags so quickly. It's basically a guy running 10 round mags through a semi-auto. And he does it so quickly that it's as if he's using a 100 round mag. It doesn't make a difference if you practice. So it's an act of violence because if they pass a law like that and you have this peacefully owned property, these 15, 16 round mags in a drawer somewhere, and you don't get rid of them and turn them into your police station, The police can put a gun to your head and kill you for having that. They can come into your home with a warrant or without a warrant. Or, you know, if your grandma has a heart attack and you call 911 and the firemen and the EMTs come in and they happen to bring police with them, as they often do, and they see your mag sitting there, they can kill you. They can take it from you. If you resist, they will kill you. So gun laws are acts of aggression against peaceful people. Ben?
Yeah, and that's square.
That's square.
If Neiman were here, he'd say that's square.
That's square. That's so square. Yeah. And we wanted to read an email from someone in China. Now, someone might say, oh, this is an anti-American podcast. They have fans in China. Here's what I'm saying, man. People are the same everywhere in the world. Governments are the problem. You know, there are good people everywhere in the world. And it's an accident of birth where they are. It's an accident of birth that you're an American. If you're listening to this and you're proud to be an American, it is an accident of birth. Unless you actually believe that God ordained that you be born in this country. It's an accident of birth, man. So we have a listener in China, at least one that we know about, possibly more, who listens to us on the internet. And let's read what he wrote here. His name is Rick Leo, Leo like the lion. And he said I could use his whole name. I asked him, you know, because you can get in trouble in China for listening to the fiends. But he was fine with it. And he wanted me to say his last name. So it's Rick Leo. Go ahead and read some of this, Ben.
He says, to introduce myself real quick, I'm a hardcore libertarian in China. By hardcore, I mean really hardcore. Like, even Ron Paul looks like a statist to me, hardcore. Although I still prefer Ron Paul to all the politicians in the world. I just found your channel yesterday, and I love it. I've been always wondering if there is something libertarian other than those academic stuff at various think tanks. I know. This is in parentheses. I know. Reason Magazine and Stossel Show are both great. Still.
Yep. And we'll have more on this letter from China when we come back from the market on the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Show.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies! Jesus. On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
Yeah. Freedom Fiends. This is Mr. Michael Dean. On the Freedom Fiends. This music you're listening to is my old band Slish. The guitar is played by David Immergluck, who's now in the band Counting Crows, who came up with the phrase worms that we use where people would normally use the word word. So Ben is speaking the word here. He's reading an email from a fan of ours in China. And we're reading this to prove that that people are the same wherever you go. It's the governments that are the problems. So read more, Ben. I want to note that I almost thought this guy was American. His English, except for transposing a couple adjectives and adverbs, it's better than a lot of emails we get from people in America. So go ahead and read, Ben.
Yeah, and this is the email from Rick Leo in China. And to continue, he says, can't believe there really is something like a libertarian talk radio show. I mean, several. Just learned that there are also off the air, LRN.FM, via you guys.
Yeah, so he's saying like there's also like internet only stuff. But I want to point this out. He is amazed that there is radio shows. There are radio shows in America that are libertarian. That's mind blowing to someone in China. China has state run media. You know, you couldn't even have like the equivalent of Rush Limbaugh or even, you know, the libertarian equivalent of Rush Limbaugh. I mean, the liberal equivalent. You couldn't have any critique of the government on the radio in China. And even countries that have so-called freedom like England, Germany, etc., you can't really be very critical of the government in those countries. It's not really all state-run media. I mean, there's the BBC in England and there's Radio Unhundert in Berlin, but there's also a lot of stuff that is independent like there is here, but there's really not talk. There's not feisty complaining about the government talk radio in other countries to anywhere near the extent there is in America. So I would say free speech, they're trying to clamp it down. They're trying right now in the Senate to pass a bill that will remove protections of revealing sources of whistleblowers from non-approved sources. Basically, they're trying to outlaw WikiLeaks, go around the First Amendment without really saying it. You know, they're trying to say that you're going to have to work for one of the mainstream medias that are controlled, media companies that are controlled by basically the government, if you're going to have protection against revealing sources. And that's a devastating blow to the First Amendment. I mean, it really doesn't affect us. Nobody whistleblows to the Freedom Fiends. We just read the headlines. We don't even talk about conspiracies. We read stuff the government actually says on their websites, and we use quotes of actual politicians and make fun of that and point out the ridiculousness of it. But there is not this kind of radio in most of the world. It's pretty much an American phenomenon. Now, a couple of the big right-wing radio shows like Rush Limbaugh, etc., they get played on a couple stations in Canada, but not many. They get played in Puerto Rico, which most Americans don't know is America. But yeah, man, this doesn't exist elsewhere. And I've traveled around the world a lot. A lot of people who say America is the best country in the world have not traveled much out of America. So I've traveled, and the world is a great place, and people are great. All over the world, there's great people, smart people, brilliant people, intelligent people, people looking for answers all over the world. And when you condemn an entire country or region, you really should just be condemning their government, because all governments are evil. So read more, Ben, from Rick Leo in China.
Okay, Rick goes on to say, okay, enough about that. I guess I could ramble on like that forever. I just have a question for you guys, and I'd really appreciate your reply. He said, even if not,
you guys still rock.
Yeah, rock. He did say that.
Yeah.
And he put three exclamation points.
Mm-hmm.
Some semi-statist free marketer on China's microblog service commented, and then he gives a link as to where this took place, to deride anarcho-capitalist thesis. He said, good stuff. It just goes to show that the worst state is better than no state. And this is in reference to Bosnia during the Civil War. And so he goes on to say, my response to him was, it couldn't be more wrong to claim that there were no states in Bosnia during the Civil War. There actually were several governments fighting each other. There was no security service, which is supposedly the basic function of the state. The states failed to provide that because they were fighting a civil war. But states were states. They still existed no matter which side they were won. Oh, I see.
Which side they were on.
Pro-independence or anti-separation. So he's saying, in response to this person that said that there was anarchy in Bosnia during the Civil War, he's saying, no, that's not anarchy. That's the existence of states fighting each other. That's the opposite of anarchy. And then he goes on to say, he responded somewhat ironically, in quotes, there were no police, no taxes. Private persons had to defend themselves.
And we'll have more on the Freedom Fiends when we come back from the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, Inoculation from Indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support only a phone call away 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today. Freedom Fiends. Freedom Fiends is a quintessentially American radio show that also understands that there are good people everywhere, and you can't hate a nation, you can only hate its government. And we have some proof of that here. We're reading a letter from Rick Leo, a Freedom Fiends fan in China. So finish up his question here, Ben, and then let's hear your answer to it. And then we're going to talk about ping pong diplomacy and how blue jeans tore down the Berlin Wall, not Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, so essentially the person that he's talking about made the statement that Bosnia during the Civil War was in a state of anarchy, and he said, no, in fact, you have states fighting each other. That's the opposite of anarchy. You have too much states. You have so many states that they're fighting each other. And the person came back to him and said, well, you had no police, no taxes. Private people had to defend themselves. Isn't that anarchy? So he shared this question with us and asked us to comment on it. And I'd like to look at this in two really
quick
ways. First
of all, I would say my answer, and this is why I'm letting Ben answer it. My answer would be stop arguing with idiots on the internet. You're not going to educate them. And, you can tell within a few comments whether somebody has the ability to change. You know, they're just a born libertarian, but a statist by training and can unlearn that. Or if they defend the state like they're defending their mother, then you just should walk away.
Yeah, there's an old saying, never mud wrestle with a pig, because you both get dirty and the pig enjoys it.
There you go.
But my response to this would be, and of course you are right. The best thing to do is to avoid arguments with people who really are not seeking the truth. But if you feel the person really is seeking the truth, in a sense, when you have no police, no taxes, and private people have to defend themselves, in a sense, yes, that is a state of anarchy. But it's there because a state has failed in a situation like a revolution, like what was happening in Bosnia. It hasn't come about due to philosophical position. It's come out of a tragedy, out of the failure of a government. But in all honesty, anarchy exists all around the world, far more frequent than governments exist. Anarchy exists everywhere a family chooses to get together and have a meal. There's no taxation involved. The parent is not taxing the children to pay for the meal. There's no force. There's no aggression. Anarchy is when people voluntarily choose to interact with one another, and government is the exact opposite. It's where that interaction takes place through aggression and through force and through violence. And if you don't want to cooperate, then the government will bring out its bayonets and force that cooperation. So in a sense, there was anarchy in Bosnia in the sense that people had to take care of themselves. But it was in this horribly distorted version of anarchy where there were active states trying to kill people. So it's kind of like, you could play basketball in the middle of a war zone, but that wouldn't mean that it's like basketball that would be played, you know, between friends in a normal situation.
Yeah, you know, there's a show called The Newsroom that my wife and I have been watching and really digging on HBO. And the basic premise is like, it's a cable news show on a station like CNN or something like that, where they're actually going back to the William Murrow kind of like, really tell the truth, really expose real news, whether the advertisers like it or not. It gets them in trouble. And this, the whole show, the first episode opens with the hero, the newscaster, on some panel discussion at some university in front of a few hundred students. And one of the questions is, tell us why America is the greatest country in the world. And there's a left-wing guy up there, left-wing woman, a right-wing guy, and our hero in the middle, who's kind of a centrist Republican who's really just after the truth. You know, that's, you have to put on your statism, your minarchist hat to really enjoy the show, but it's a great show. And, you know, the left-wing person says, diversity, that's why America is the greatest country in the world. And the right-wing person says, freedom and freedom. And, you know, the guy in the middle doesn't want to answer, and they finally goad him to answer, and he says, America isn't the greatest country in the world. It used to, and it can be again, but it's not now. This used to be a country where people weren't shamed for being smart, where we built great things, where we encouraged our artists as well as our industrialists. And he goes on this whole litany of stuff that's basically true, and like gets hell for it. And it gets on YouTube, and people hate him and love him and argue about it, and his ratings go up. And he's right, though. Anybody who says anything about American exceptionalism is basing that on information from 20, 30, 40 years ago. And it still wasn't perfect then. And people have rose-colored glasses remembering it. But what makes America great, I think, is the freedom to have the culture we have. And a lot of people complain about the culture we have, you know, and say it's junk culture. Miley Cyrus is wiggling her butt. It's horrible. But the fact that you can have Miley Cyrus wiggling her butt also enables things like the Freedom Fiends and enables things like, you know, the great writers of history like Rothbard and, you know, going back to all sorts of people in America who said what they believed and were allowed to do it. And the greatest threat to America right now is people from both sides of the aisle and all sides of the aisle and from within and from without having, and the government having, a war on the culture of America, trying to limit free speech, trying to do things like pass laws in small towns, outlawing baggy pants and things like that. The mishmash of culture that is America brought down the Berlin Wall. It wasn't Reagan saying, tear down this wall. It was already on its way down. And the reason it was on its way down was because of smuggled blue jeans and 10th generation Bruce Springsteen tapes getting into Russia, into Berlin. I mean, the thing that brought down, you know, that opened up Chinese diplomacy was two guys playing ping pong. You know, even Nixon was behind that. You may only know that if you're young, you probably only know that if you've seen, Forrest Gump, because in there he's one of the ping pong players. The thing that brought down, there's all sorts of examples of this, of where like Western culture with all its warts and problems helped bring down some kind of tyranny. You know, the thing that opened up exchange between the Soviet Union and America, as Hubert Selby put it in the movie I did, where I did the last interview before he died, called Hubert Selby Jr., It'll Be Better Tomorrow. He said, you know, it's not the politicians that change things. It's a couple of dances. I'm going to do his Brooklyn accent. It's a couple of dances going back and forth from Moscow to New York. That's a bad imitation of it. But, you know, it's a couple of dancers going back from Moscow to New York. And now you've got, who's the guy that's going to North Korea? Rodman. Dennis yep. Rodman is going there to play basketball. And that's not authorized by the U.S. government. And they're actually critical. And a lot of right-wing people are saying he shouldn't be hanging out with that mass murderer. But no, it's a couple of guys playing basketball. And I really think that's what takes down tyrannies is culture, and not just Western culture, but that is what the West has that's great, that's still great, is the diversity of culture, of everything from rap music to symphonies, and everything from the Freedom Fiends to Rush Limbaugh, and everything from, you know, gun nuts to anti-gun nuts to recall elections where anti-gun nuts get kicked out of office. This is the kind of stuff that makes America great and doesn't exist in a lot of the world. And a lot of Americans are trying to stamp that out, man. I mean, if you're an old fogey who doesn't like hip hop music, don't listen to it. You don't have to go out and outlaw it. You know, you don't have to pass a law against it. If you don't like Miley Cyrus and think she's offensive, don't watch MTV. You probably don't anyway, and you only know about it because you saw it reblogged on some conservative blog. If you don't like the culture, just find some other culture. And that's what makes America great, man, is the culture. And that's about all we have left. And Obama's administration is trying to stamp it out. And Bush tried to stamp it out. You know, that's the thing we've got. Keep it going. Support it. Encourage it.
And that was today's crazy
feisty libertarian feisty rant libertarian. Number one. Yeah. So what do you think, Ben Stone, the bad Quaker?
I agree. I was thinking of South Africa when you were saying that also, that another case where it was, you know, it wasn't the lockdown. It wasn't the boycotts. It wasn't the shutting the door on them. They were perfectly fine. The tyranny government was perfectly fine with that. It was, you know, American music getting in there and breaking through the walls that
ended apartheid.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were a lot of groups that wouldn't play South Africa and boycotted it. There was actually a song and a movement called Don't Play Sun City, which I think is the wrong tack of it. I think you should go into the belly of the beast and bring your culture, man. And that is what brought it down.
Yeah, you could look at Cuba as the opposite effect by isolating Cuba, not allowing the commerce between Florida and Cuba, not allowing the two cultures to interact the way they would have. Cuba has sat there and stewed in its own communist juices now.
That's the only thing that Obama has done that's useful is he slightly opened up travel between Cuba and America, and he was slayed for it. All of the right wingers said, oh, that's horrible. And those are the same people who say, you know, that people who burned their draft cards because they didn't want to be slaves during the Vietnam War are horrible. It's basically just buying the government lie of saying, that's bad because I heard it's bad. There's nothing wrong with not fighting someone else's war because you get kidnapped to do it. And there's nothing wrong with what you're talking about either, man. It's all good. I think going to Cuba is good. I think, yeah, you don't want a place to just stew in its own juices. And that's really a Cold War mentality. And it wasn't just Republicans. Kennedy was into that too, of like lock communism in a, you know, basically build a wall around communism to keep it out. I'd say let communism in and then just laugh at it, man. As long as it's not enforced at the barrel of a gun, I think American culture is strong enough or was strong enough back then and still is in a way to withstand any kind of nutty ideas. And you just laugh at it, man. It's when there's governments behind those ideas that it's a problem.
It's funny that very often people who consider themselves conservative or consider themselves on the right wing or whatever, they talk and they act like they're for a free market, or they talk like they are,
yes,
you know, they believe in the market. But if you believe in the market, that's competition. The market is made up of competition. Well, if you really believe in the market, then why are you afraid of communism? Because the market is a superior process to communism. So turn them both loose. And the market will eat communism, and it will be nothing but something that, you know, you talk about to your grandkids. I remember when there used to be communists. Yeah. It'll be gone. It'll be in the past because the market is a superior product. And this is the same thing. People worry about, oh, we're getting all the Muslims are coming over here. And they're afraid like this is some kind of threat to Christianity. And I'm a Christian, so that's why I'm taking it in this path.
And we're gonna go to the market here on the Freedom Fiends. The free market. We'll be back.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Yeah. Freedom Fiends.
Worms.
Worms. It's the last segment of today's Freedom Fiends. This is Michael W. Dean broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural Wild Mountain West in the occupied states of America, Wyoming. Over on the other end there, on the other end of the line, we got Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, in Ohio, from the 23rd floor of the Bad Quaker Towers in Ohio, central Ohio.
Atop the sprawling Bad Quaker estate.
The Bad Quaker complex. You know, I've heard it said that, you know, when the government like shoots a bunch of people, they always say they had a compound and they always say they had a cult. And Boston Tea Party said that a compound is any land that's over an acre that has more than one building. And he said a cult in the government's eyes is any church with less than a million members whose leader has a beard.
I have a beard.
And a wooden house. Yeah. So, Ben, we were talking about how politicians don't destroy tyrannies. They only make tyrannies. And what gets rid of tyrannies is a couple of dances going back and forth from Moscow to New York, a couple of Chinese guy and an American guy playing ping pong, or blue jeans and 10th generation Bruce Springsteen tapes smuggled into East Berlin. So you're going to expand on that for this last bit. Go.
Yeah, it's the market. The market is the force on earth that nothing can stop. The market is the expression of human desire, of what people want and what other people are willing to do to fill that want. So if you want something bad enough, somebody will go out of their way to provide it for you for the right price. That's the market. That's why nothing ever can be prohibited successfully by a government, because if there's a demand for it, then the people will get it. Somebody will provide it. That's why prohibition didn't work in the 1920s. That's why the drug war doesn't work today. And that's why we shouldn't be afraid of things like communism or foreign religions that are scary to us, or foreign cultures where people wear different headgear that we're not accustomed to. We shouldn't be afraid of these things, because in the long run, the market will decide what is best, and what is best is what everybody thinks and what they want. And if they want something, then it's going to be provided for them. And in the long run, it's all about competition. So why is it that, you know, why are there no Edsels being sold today? Well, because the people didn't want that, and so the market adjusted to it. But why are there still Fords today? Because people want Fords, or they want Chevys, or they want Toyotas. And laws to try to restrict these things can never be successful. If there's a desire, if there's a want for something, then there's going to be somebody else who's willing to provide that at the right price. And that's how the market works. And that's why we shouldn't be afraid of communism or foreign religions or competition of any kind in the market.
Yeah, communism just fails when it tries to compete with the free market, with the market. And a lot of politicians who use the phrase the free market aren't really free market people, which is why we say the market for the actual free market. Most people that say they're into the free market are into all sorts of regulations, tariffs. A lot of them are into the war on drugs, which is basically protecting the monopolies of alcohol companies and cigarette companies. You know, to bring it full circle, we were talking about Bill Hicks. He has a bit about how ridiculous it is that you turn on TV and you see a drugs are bad and they'll kill you ad, and then it's followed by a tobacco ad back in the day, and then a beer ad. You know, it's basically the anti-drug ad is protecting the monopoly, which is not free market, the monopoly of the cartels of beer distributors.
And a lot of people have said, well, we have to have a war on drugs, because if we don't, you know, then there's just going to be drugs everywhere, and kids are going to be taking drugs, and there's going to be, you know, gangs are going to be shooting it out on the
streets.
There
are all those things. There are drugs everywhere, kids are taking drugs, and gangs are shooting it out on the street because of the war on drugs. There are,
exactly.
Not only does all the violence come from the fact that the drugs are illegal and cost more than gold, and that therefore there's a reason for people to shoot people to protect their monopoly, that makes there be more drugs. It doesn't just make them more violent and more expensive. It makes there be a market to bring in stronger, purer, more drugs and put them on every corner. And I've had a good time here on the Freedom Fiends, Ben. Thanks for sitting
in. It's been fun.
For Nima Vidati.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. You can check out Freedom Fiends at freedomfiends.com, or The Bad Quaker, Ben Stone, at badquaker.com. BADQUAKER.com.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFiends.com.
Thanks, man.